From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 20th day of April 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kirk Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We'll check in on the agricultural news for the day and all of the things that happened on Friday evening with U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue as he made the coronavirus direct payment announcement for farmers. We'll detail some of that. We'll take a look at the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. And we'll hear about the cash grain situation with Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, Illinois, on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers as they finished in Chicago. May corn down 8 cents today at 314 1/4. July at 322 1/4, 7 lower. December down 6 1/2 at 337. Soybeans were down 6 at 826 1/2 in the May. July at 836 1/4, down 6. And November beans down 5 1/4 at 845 3/4. Bean oil 31 cents lower. Bean meal down $2.60. Wheat futures were up 15 1/4 in the lead May. July at 547 1/2 for that soft red, 13 3/4 higher. And hard red July up 17 cents at 502 1/4. Live cattle futures in Chicago. April contract down $1.12 1/2. The feeders were off $1.20. And lean hogs were up $2.67 1/2. The Dow Jones Industrial Average around 450 points lower for the day. And the big story of the day is the crude oil, which is now trading in the lead option May contract at negative $11.42 a barrel. It's not worth $11.42. It's worth it's worth less than $0. Now you had to have to pay $11.42. It's off something like $30 at this time. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We saw that the CME Group was looking to be able to trade crude oil into the negative numbers last week. Were you surprised today that that happened?
Boy, I am. It's a shocker. It's not really called for, but they did it. It's a history being made for sure, most definitely. The back end still maintains some premium. It just continues to stress the fact here that there's plenty of supply up front here and just really no home for it. So it's a concern.
Yeah, so the June and the July contracts have maintained since last night's open, and I think they opened down about $18 or $19. They're off nearly 30 in the May contract, the lead. But they were, that June contract's been holding around $20. The July is just below $30. So it looks like it's a storage issue at this time, and not much more than that. But I suppose it really spills over into the corn market and the rest of the commodities and kind of puts a wet blanket across them.
Yeah, it's definitely keeping a lid on things. Investor confidence is zero, so it's quite a challenge in through here. But we get the economy going here and trade some good old-fashioned fundamentals. I think corn and beans and wheat can kind of do its own thing. In fact, wheat's, a little concerned about available supplies out of Russia and some weather concerns. So we're seeing some spread activity today, buying wheat, selling corn, buying wheat, selling some beans. This afternoon's planting progress report, there's pretty good activity across the Midwest, but we'll have more of an update here, next week as we get through another week. But they're looking for corn plantings to be 7% complete versus 3% last week. Soybeans, 2%. Complete as a nation. So we'll see how those numbers come out.
Have you been talking to farmers? Are they in the field today?
Yeah. Here in the central part, there's quite a bit of activity taking place.
And are they still upbeat about what's going to happen in the marketplace? That's usually the case when they're in the field, or at least hopeful. Are they concerned about the 97 million acres that USDA has said they'll plant this season?
Well, that's the thing. We've got supposedly some more money coming at us here. We'll see what happens here, as far as planting goes. But they're confident probably that number is going to be high. They know there's some demand in the market. It's just going to take some time to get some confidence going here to see some buyers come forward.
Yeah, so the ethanol market has been the big problem for producers and for the gasoline supply and corn in particular, simply because there aren't enough miles being driven at this point as lockdowns continue across a large part of the United States. What are your estimates on how much has been lost?
Well, that's a good question. There's estimates as much as 800 million bushel total. And we know we'll see how things go. The thing is, time keeps going on. It's going to be hard to make up some of that demand or get some of that demand back because we're seeing a situation where, you know, there's some driving around, but just not enough to absorb that. People, you know, working from home. The trucking industry is still moving some product in through here, so the diesel side of it's fairly strong. We'll see as we move forward here, try to get these plants up and going. It's just going to take some time. But if we have some favorable weather coming at us and don't see a resurge in demand here, it's probably going to be a struggle for a while.
Okay, so in the wheat market, we had some fundamentals, particularly dry conditions across a large part of Europe and cutting of the supply there. In Brazil, the southern part at least, there has been concern, and it looks like they're going to cut corn production in that part of the world. Will that be very helpful?
Yeah, that'll help take a little bit off the world supply demand balance sheet, but our competition continues to be the southern hemisphere with the currency fluctuation, making it a little bit more a challenge. Our corn's the cheapest in the world. We just need to continue to see China poke its head into our market and pick up some inventory here and try to replenish some of their supplies as they continue to try to recover from the virus there and African swine fever and rebuild their livestock herds.
Speaking of livestock, processing plants in the United States are still running. That Smithfield plant in South Dakota shut down. I was seeing some numbers on it. About, I think, 4% of the supply, for hogs, that is, are processed there. So not as big an impact maybe as you would have thought. Still, livestock are backing up because processors are not needing the amount of red meat simply because consumers aren't going out to eat. And we've been reconfiguring that whole supply chain. What's your biggest concern there?
Well, the restaurant demand evaporated. And so we're seeing a situation where that needs to be picked up by the retail sector of it. And we'll see how this cold storage report unfolds here. We've got a cold storage report and cattle and feed report here as we move forward, and we'll see how those numbers unfold, see if we're moving this product or not.
Anything else before I let you go for the day?
Well, it's a dynamic. The key is staying power. You got to have some staying power in this atmosphere. We're going to see some wide swings up and down both.
How do you manage that kind of staying power from your perspective? Farmers will be, of course, looking at their crop insurance, PLC on the farm safety side, as well as whatever happens to come in the way of direct payments. The one set we'll talk about here in a bit that was announced over the weekend by President Trump and Secretary Perdue. But are there things that you're thinking that producers might need to be able to do to protect some more of the risk?
Well, you can use some option strategies to, cover and sell your cash grain and generate some cash flow and then come back in with some type of cover strategy. That way you can try to recoup something on down the road. If we get into some weather, particularly hot and dry in June or July, that'll be a key catalyst maybe to flip this thing another way. If you go back to the early 80s, we saw a situation where we had plenty of supply around, and we ran into some weather situations, and demand felt the grain was good value, and the market was to recover. But it's just going to take some time.
Hey, thanks so much, Kurt.
All right, take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, Friday evening at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, held a press conference with broadcasters to explain how the $9.5 billion in disaster ad hoc aid that was provided under the CARES Act, along with some of the replenishment, about $6.5 billion of the CCC funds, Commodity Credit Corporation, would be used to support farmers across the nation. He began that press conference by talking about the food supply chains in the United States.
You've heard me say that the food supply chain has been resilient while having to adapt very quickly when food that used to go to restaurants now needs to go to retail outlets. I think when you really think about the fact that about half of our calories are consumed outside the home, that's been a dramatic shift in our consumption patterns, and the misalignment of production and supply has created some real challenges here. As a result, farmers have seen prices in their market supply chain affected by the virus like they never could have expected.
To aid farmers in this time of market disruption, the Trump administration, via the CARES Act passed by Congress, will use $16 billion in total, the $9.5 and the $6.5 billion respectively, to offset losses that producers have seen in the marketplace from mid-January to mid-April, says Secretary Perdue.
For this portion of the program, our economists and USDA evaluated commodity-specific losses occurring during the mid-January to mid-April timeframe for immediate assistance. This program is open to farmers and ranchers regardless of size or market outlet if they suffered an eligible loss. We've also looked ahead to help provide additional assistance with cost and disruption to markets in the months ahead, not really knowing what the demand destruction would be.
Secretary Perdue did not outline how the $16 billion in direct aid payments would be made to farmers and ranchers. However, North Dakota's senior senator, John Hovind, did in a press release. His press release states that $9.6 billion will be for the livestock industry, with $5.1 of that going to cattle, $2.9 for dairy, and $1.6 billion for hogs. Another $3.9 billion will be distributed to row crop producers, $2.1 billion to specialty crop producers, and $500 million will be left available for other crops. Producers will receive a single payment determined using two calculations, according to Hovind's press release. Price losses that occurred from January to April will be compensated at the 85% level. The second part of the payment will be expected losses from April 15th through the next two quarters, and that'll cover 30% of the expected losses. The payment limit is $125,000 per commodity, with an overall limit of $250,000 per individual or entity. Qualified commodities must have experienced a 5% price decrease between January and April. USDA is expediting the rulemaking process for the direct payment program and expects to begin sign up for the new program in early May, with payments getting to producers by the end of May or early in June. Here are a couple of other notes from the Friday evening press conference with Secretary Perdue. Many in the industry thought that there would be some relief coming for the ethanol industry and biofuels in general. The secretary was asked why that was not the case.
Well, I didn't mention it because it's not included this time. Obviously, there are huge challenges in the biofuel ethanol industry that will affect our farmer corn growers and producers that supply that. But frankly, at this point, there's just not enough money to go around. The demand from all the sectors was even more than we could accommodate at this time. And the macro energy issue is certainly affecting all sectors of energy. So it's just more than we could do from the USDA perspective at this time.
Again, the funding the secretary was talking about Friday night was allocated by Congress in the CARES Act. They included about $9.5 billion that was supposed to be targeted to specialty crops and the livestock sector. It includes some money, of course, for row crop producers as well. And there was a replenishment of the CCC funds to the tune of about $14 billion, $6.5 billion of what's coming in the $16 billion aid package actually comes from the CCC, And while the secretary did say that the money was coming from CCC, he also mentioned looking forward and that $14 billion coming available in July, though it's not clear whether that $14 billion is coming available to pay past due bills, the MFP, and this $6.5 billion direct payment, for example, or whether it would be new money. I wrote USDA and asked a couple of questions of them. Particularly, I wanted to know whether the CARES Act $14 billion was simply a replenishment of the credit line that is made available to USDA, but not funded until sometimes after the money is spent, or whether it would be new funding for additional spending after July. USDA answered, though it was something of a punt. They did write, waiting until the additional CCC replenishment of $14 billion was available to spend was not an option. Again, CCC funding is a credit line, and sometimes Congress allocates the money ahead of time, and sometimes it just replenishes those funds. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Mark Russo is here from Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. We have a lot to cover. Looks like this week's going to be pretty good for planting across the Corn Belt. Do you have some details for me?
Yes. Hi, Todd. With the outlook here for the Corn Belt, it looks quite favorable for planting progress over the next couple of weeks. And so, again, of late, progress has been delayed a bit just because of the cooler temperatures and cooler air temperatures and cooler soil temperatures and then a bit of rain. But looking out for the next couple of weeks, temperatures climbing to warmer than normal levels across the western Corn Belt. Eastern Corn Belt still a bit biased on the cool side, but nothing highly anomalous. But then precipitation looks below normal, not only across the Corn Belt, but across much of the central U.S., extending into the plains, especially northern plains, even up into Canada. Overall, this type of pattern will allow for a quite rapid planting as we go from now through month's end and even into the first few days of May.
Does that cause any problems elsewhere in the nation? Meaning, if we've got pretty good conditions, they must be dry part of the time. So are there places in the U.S. that are too dry?
Well, we're watching here some dryness across portions of the Plains hard red winter wheat belt, namely in western Kansas, which is the largest hard red producing state. Over the next couple of weeks, there will be some minor opportunities for precip. So while the forecast is not totally dry, in general, we do not see a general improvement in soil moisture for the belt as a whole. So kind of a mixed bag. A few pockets improve, other areas will miss out. So basically kind of unchanged over the next couple of weeks with still, you know, again, kind of mixed. Some areas that will continue to need rain 2 weeks from now, but other areas seeing some improvement.
Let's stay with wheat for a moment. The French have said they're going to cut their outlook for wheat. In fact, I think that's kind of the case across Europe and spreading into parts of the Ukraine and Russia. Is that right?
Yeah, over the past month's time frame, we've seen below normal precipitation, pretty wide scale across Europe and the Black Sea. In fact, over the past 30 days, a large percentage of wheat acreage in Europe and the Black Sea wheat belt has received less than 25% of normal precipitation. And with the driest conditions, actually over Central Europe, Germany, portions of France, Poland. Over the next couple of weeks, that general dry pattern looks to persist, although there will be some minor improvement in areas of Ukraine and Russia. But even with the rains there, it does not look enough to turn around the situation. And beyond the next couple of weeks, there are indications of below normal rainfall returning to Ukraine and Russia. So bottom line is that the dryness or the below normal precip pattern, which covers a lot of wheat acreage, looks to continue going into the early part of May, and that's going to be combined with warmer than normal temperatures as well, especially in Western Europe over the next couple of weeks.
And finally, let's switch areas and crops both, but stay with dry conditions. In the southern part of Brazil, I'm told the safrinha crop of corn has been in a drier mode. That would be normal, relatively speaking, but I think this one's in a bit more trouble than that.
Yeah, this is the kind of the final inning, if you would, of the rainy season across Brazil. And over the past several weeks, it's really been the Paraná and the southern part of the Mato Grosso do Sul winter corn acreage that has shifted drier. And as we look out over the next couple of weeks, those areas look to stay drier than normal. In fact, little to any rainfall is forecast across those areas. Combined with the dryness, will be warmer than normal temperatures. So again, that southern part of the Safrinha Corn Belt will remain in a drier mode with depleting soil moisture reserves going into the early part of May. The Mato Grosso acreage, which is actually the largest winter corn area in Brazil, that area will continue to receive rain and keep yield prospects on the high side. But it's that southern part that crop stress is heightened and looks to stay that way.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Let's check the cash grain situation now with Greg Johnson at the Andersons. Greg, I've been working at home for quite some time. You guys were staggering there in the office at the Andersons, so you didn't have too much exposure. And I take it now you've been moved home, and so has everybody else.
Yes, I think just in the interest of safety, they want us to work from home, and so that's what we're going to be doing from here on out.
Well, it's a good day to work from home because I assume you want to kind of hide from what's been happening in the crude oil market and consequently the spillover into the rest of the commodities.
Yeah, the basis continues to be very weak on cash corn, just lack of demand from the ethanol related industry. And so cash markets are extremely, farmers aren't selling, so the basis isn't getting worse. But normally when the futures go down like this, the basis gets a little bit better. But just the overall lack of demand is pressuring the basis. And so we're basically seeing it unchanged at some pretty weak levels here historically.
I suppose a big part of the problem with corn is the price of crude oil.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. Because we blend 10% ethanol with every gallon of gas, and now there's six governors that have asked that they just basically not enforce the RFS. They want to not have refiners blend ethanol at all, and obviously that goes against the law, but just the fact that they're talking about that probably is pressuring ethanol prices and consequently corn.
Different subject. Soybean crush has been really good.
Yes. There was some problems with South American getting boats loaded, and so we saw a little bit of demand come up here into the United States. So the outlook for wheat and soybeans really isn't all that negative. I think it's, the fact that corn market is as weak as it is kind of pressuring beans a little bit this today, but overall the exports are halfway decent on beans, assuming China can keep away from some pandemics and African swine fever cases exploding. Assuming they can keep away from that, we may see some soybean export business show up there. And so I think there's a little bit more optimism in the bean and wheat market than there is in the corn market right now.
Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons, joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.